Your pictures in the paper being perfectly admired. You can have anyone that you have ever desired. All you gotta tell me now is why, why.
Hi everyone, I'm Laura Kunreuther and you are listening to Work, a program where we talk to neighbors about their working lives and the relationship between work and the places we live. What are the different work trajectories that people pursue? And what kinds of work bring people to this area? Today I talked to Sheldon, a fireman from the Heusrat Hose Company and retired jet engine mechanic. Sheldon began by telling me how he entered into the jet industry.
I started off in high school. I was auto mechanic.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Okay, and I got tired of that. Uh-huh. I went into service, and I started working on jets,
Wow.
And I did that for 4 years in Vietnam.
Uh-huh. And were you, in terms of auto mechanic, were you doing that because you had learned that stuff from home, or?
No, I just went to school.
You just went to
I
school?
I just went to the schools, you know, because my mother was a principal of a public school down in the Bronx.
Oh, wow.
And my father was a police officer, and they didn't take no crap, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So all the kids had to get an education. They believed in education.
Uh-huh, right.
You know? And I just took off from there. During high school, I was doing auto mechanic work. Mm-hmm. I graduated out of high school. I couldn't get a job working in auto mechanics.
Oh, really? And when was this?
This was back in 69, 70.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was really hard because everybody was doing it, you know?
I see.
And yeah. I went into computers. I worked computers for 8 years.
Oh.
You know, in Manhattan. I got tired of it.
Yeah. But when were you working on the jets? You said you were working on
jets? Yeah, I started working on jets in 72.
Uh-huh.
No, in 70.
And that was connected to Vietnam?
Yeah, I was in Vietnam from 69 to 70.
Uh-huh.
Wait, from 69 to 72. And when I got
out... And your work there was mechanical?
Yeah, I was working on aircraft engines, you know. One thing, you didn't have to dodge bullets.
Okay. Oh, you seriously had to dodge
bullets? Yeah, you had to dodge bullets, bombs. You got incoming, the VC over there. They let their mortars off on the flight line just to disrupt you, you know, just so the planes couldn't land or come in, you know.
I see. And you were right on the aircraft, right on the place where the planes came in.
Yeah. When I got out of Vietnam, I came home. There was nothing to do. I was just floating around.
Yeah. So how many people were you with that when you were there? What was it like there?
It was horrendous. I cried every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see the guys coming in all blown up and everything, it was terrible.
It was awful.
You know?
Right.
And I just stuck it out until 72, until I got released.
Right.
Until they discharged me. And I came home. I was floating around New York City with no job. I couldn't get a job.
Right.
You know? And I just went to school. You know, I went back to school. I went to Teterboro School of Aeronautics in New Jersey.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And it worked for me. The government paid for it.
Uh-huh. Anyone who was associated with Vietnam.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Through
that bill, that GI bill.
Uh-huh.
The government paid for it. I got a good education out of it.
Uh-huh.
And when I graduated, I just got tired of living in New York. I picked up. Went to California.
Oh, wow.
You know, I didn't know nobody. My father's like, you're crazy. But like I told him, yo, Dad, I got to take a chance. Life is short anyway, you know? So I just got to take a chance, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I went out there and I got hired 3 days later.
Wow. And why, what made you choose California? If you didn't know it? Because you didn't know anyone?
Yeah, because I didn't know anyone. I'm pretty much a loner,
you know?
And I just enjoyed it. I lived there for 22 years.
Wow.
You know, and when I retired from them.
What was the job that you had there?
I was working on 747s, 707s, DC-9s.
Tell me a little bit about what that means, because what do you actually do?
Okay, what I actually did, during the course of the day, I would pull a plane. Planes has got to come in a hangar every 30 days. People just don't know this.
Right.
Okay, they got to come in a hangar every 30 days. You test run the aircraft up on the blast fence. You find out what's wrong with it.
Right.
You pull it in a hangar.
Right.
Then you fix what's wrong with it.
Right.
They call it preventative maintenance.
Right.
Okay, and what was ever wrong with it, we fixed.
Right.
Okay, and I got tired of doing that, so I went to engines.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I stayed with engines up until the time I retired.
Wow.
You know?
And so would it be the same deal where you're just examining the inside of the engine?
Yeah. Yeah, you take it apart, you take it off the pylon, because engines come, they drop down.
Right.
They got special machines that go up and just... you. Screw it off and it just drops down.
Oh, okay. That's
okay,
yeah.
And we just run it up, put it on a dynamometer, make sure it's running proficiency, you know, and just anything wrong with it, we would check it out, and if there was something wrong, we'd change that part, you know, and put it back up.
how many people were you working with?
It was a crew of like 120 people. We were working in 3-hour shifts. I mean, no, not 3 hours, 8-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
You got maybe 40 people in one shift and 40 people in the other, you know, and that's the way they worked it, you know.
Wow.
You know?
And were they people who you became friendly with, or was it very much?
Yes, I became really good friends with a lot of guys out there, and we used to do a lot of scuba diving.
Okay, that's good.
So I did a lot of scuba diving.
Uh-huh.
You know, and...
when you weren't working, you were...
yeah, when I wasn't working, I was in the ocean.
That's great.
Playing with the seals and stuff in the kelp beds, you know.
Oh, wow. So where was this in California?
San Diego.
Uh-huh.
You know, I used to go to the coves. I got these beach coves over there. You know, and we used to go scuba diving in the coves, in the kelp beds, play with the seals, you know.
Amazing. Wow. And had you been scuba diving before? Or was
no,
this...
I went to school for that. You
oh,
know?
You did?
Yeah. Because over there was really nothing to do for me. You know, because I didn't know nobody.
Right.
You know, so I just started hanging out with a bunch of guys, you know, and they just taught me in the pool how to scuba dive.
Uh-huh.
And took me out in the ocean, and you're on your own.
Wow.
You know? And I enjoyed it.
That is.
I had a good life. After high school, I've always had a knack of working with my hands.
Right.
You know, I'm very good with my hands, you know, and I just went to aircraft.
Right.
You know, because I was looking for a good paying job. You know, I didn't want nothing mediocre. I wanted a good paying job, and I just went to aircraft.
Right.
And then I just went from there.
Did anyone in your family have that skill?
No, they didn't. No, my father's a police officer. My mother was a principal. You know, the only thing they kept saying, just go to school. Just go to school.
That's all.
Right?
It doesn't matter what you do.
They gave us... I got other brothers and sisters, you know, and they let us do any educational thing that we wanted to do, just so long as we was good at it.
Right.
And I was always good with mechanics.
Okay.
You know, and I just went from there. I taught my son it. My son works for NASA.
Oh, really?
Okay, he's getting ready to come home because the last shuttle flight is the 1st of November.
Wow.
People just don't know this.
No, I didn't know that.
You know, and they're not having no more shuttles for at least 10 years or something.
Oh, wow.
You know, so...
wow, why is that?
Because they're going to put something new out, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he took a job at Boston Logan Airport. He'd be home in November.
Wow.
You know, so in about the middle of November, he's coming home.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, and he's single.
Yeah,
enjoying
he's
life.
Yeah.
You know, traveling the world, you know.
It's and is so when you were in California, is that where you raised your family then?
No, my son lived in New York here, but he always came out to me because for me to fly back and forth to New York, I just paid the taxes.
Yes.
No, it wasn't too much. I just paid taxes, you
know?
The flights were, a round trip ticket would cost me $85.
Yeah.
You know? And I used to he used to come to me at least once a month.
Oh, nice.
I used to take him to work with me. He got the hang of it. I taught him how to, you know, to do it, you know.
Wow.
And he liked it.
Uh-huh.
And he just took off with it. He went into rocket system, you know.
Easy.
You know?
Yeah, to another whole level of it.
You know?
Did other people at work bring their kids into it?
Yes, they did. Yes, really? They did.
So that was a common thing.
Yeah, because the aircraft industry, people just don't know. It's family orientated.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you got kids. You bring your kids to work. Maybe your kids can get a hang of this.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I've always brought my son to work with me.
Oh, that's...
You know, whenever he was around me, he always went to work with me.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he liked it.
Yeah.
You know, so he went to college. He went to Amy and Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Down in, I think it's in Florida, if I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
He went down there. He went to college. 3-4 years. He got a degree in engineering, aircraft engineering.
Wow.
You know him?
Yeah, Danny went to rockets.
Danny went into rockets, and he's still doing it, you know, but he would like to still do it, you know, because if they call him back, he's going to go back,
uh-huh.
You know, because that's his craft.
Right.
You know, he likes working on planes, but not like I do.
I see.
You know, he likes the rockets and stuff like that. You know, I like the jets.
Yeah.
You know, and he's...
It's a different skill, huh?
Yeah, it's a different skill.
Yeah.
You know, and he
is it a different type of person who goes into that? I mean, were there familiar people in that field for you?
No, there wasn't. It's just something that
he
branched. Yeah, it happens. He was smart enough to grab it,
mm-hmm.
the education of it, and he... And he just went from there.
Yeah.
You know, he's a really smart kid.
Yeah.
Then I got another son that's a police officer down in New York City.
Oh, really? Like your father.
Right?
Did he hang around your father?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
You know? So he followed in my father's footsteps.
I see.
You know, and he's doing great.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, and you were never... when you were young, was there a sense that you would also be a police officer?
Yes, there was. There was a sense that after I came home from Vietnam, I wanted to be a police officer. But at that time, in the 60s, it was the early 70s,
yeah.
They were killing cops.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I kept telling my father, I will not be a target.
Yeah.
You know?
I've already done that.
Yeah. Right, you know, I've already been there, you know, I've seen too much blood, you know,
yeah.
And I kept telling him, I will not be a target. He was mad at me,
uh-huh.
You know, because he wanted me to follow in his footsteps, but
sure.
I just didn't want to,
yeah.
You know, and my mother let him know, let him go his way,
yeah.
You know, and we just didn't get along after that for a while until
yeah.
I started working in the aircraft industry.
Right.
Giving him trips to Hawaii and Alaska.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So then he grabbed it, you know.
He said, okay, this is okay.
Right? You know, so he, good dad. He was a good dad.
He came around after the end.
You know how fathers are. Back in them days, your father was really hard on you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my father was really hard on us, you know. So we...
Did he have somebody who went into the police besides your son?
No. No, everybody else, my brother, he's a manager for the Veterans Administration down in New York City.
Uh-huh.
My sister's a teacher.
Right, okay.
Okay, and I got another brother, he works for FedEx on aircraft. I taught him how to do it.
Oh, I see.
I gave him all the books and everything, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he lives in Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
You know, at the hub down in FedEx, that's their main office down there,
uh-huh.
Fixing, working on jets.
How'd you end up coming to Hudson?
I had an aunt that lived here. After I retired, I was living in New York City. I had a girlfriend down there. I used to sit in her house and watch the helicopters come down in the middle of a park. Cops run out with their guns, okay? Chasing people, the drug dealers and everything, you know? And I just got up one morning. I said, I had enough. We out of here. My aunt lived up here,
uh-huh.
You know? And... She told me, come on up. We came up here and we stayed. Never went back.
Wow.
You know, I had an apartment. The second show gave me an apartment a week later.
Wow.
And we moved right in.
Wow.
You know, and it's been enjoyable ever since.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't like that fast-paced life.
Right.
You know, I'm a slow-down person.
Yeah.
You know?
So you had been to Hudson before? Visiting
Never
your
been
aunt?
Here.
Oh.
Never been here.
Your aunt has just lived here.
Yeah, she had lived there all her life.
Oh,
see. You know, and she just, come on up. You like it up here, you know? So me, I had just got married. We came up here, and we never looked back.
That's amazing.
Never looked back, and it's been rewarding living up here.
Yeah.
You know, because if I was living down in New York City, I don't know how I would be, you know, because it was just too crazy down here.
Yeah.
You know, my friends that I grew up with, if they wasn't dead, they were strung out on drugs.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I wasn't going that way.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted something out of life.
Yeah.
You know, and here I am.
Yeah. So what kind of work have you been doing up here? You retired, but you're kind
yeah,
of
I retired,
doing all kinds of things.
Right, I do little handy, because I'm good with my hands.
Yeah.
I do a lot of little handy jobs around here that people don't want to do. That's very, it's easy for me.
Right.
You know, so I just do them, and you know, they pay me for them, you know.
So that's good.
You know, and that's all I do. I do a lot of work for the second show. I do a lot of work for the second show, because when I came in, they had nobody. Things was going on in that building, and I knew how to fix them.
Oh,
you know?
Really? Oh, okay.
You know, because I know about plumbing and everything, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I just started fixing their stuff, and they just, come on, you stay here. I want to buy a house right now. They talk about, yo, you can't leave. You can't leave, you know? You know?
That's great.
So we've been here. We're looking at a house right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, because like I told my wife about 3 months ago, it's time for me to move. I've been here 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for me to take another step. I'm 60 years old. I'm taking my steps late in life,
right,
the way that I feel.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I just want to take another step.
Right.
Yeah, you know, because I want my own house.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm working towards it.
Yeah.
You know?
So in this airline industry, did you ever have a moment where you, a story that you can tell us about where you really felt like, I just got to get out of this? Or was it always very...
It was always rewarding to me.
Uh-huh.
It was always rewarding to me. The only reason why I got out of it is because after, you know, you work in the industry for years, like I did, I was breathing the jet fuel.
Oh.
And it kept collapsing my lungs.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Okay, and I almost died behind it, you know. My lungs collapsed on me 4 times.
Wow.
Okay, and then the doctor told me, you can't do this no more. You got to find something else. I tried other things. I just wasn't happy, you know. And
what kinds of things?
I worked for UPS, and
yeah.
I just wasn't happy. It was just too much for me, you know. You know, I wanted something much more rewarding in life, you know. And UPS, they pay good money, but you're tired at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You're burnt out, you know. And
what do you have to do? You drive around? Or?
Yeah, you drive around, take boxes upstairs and downstairs. That just was not me. You know, I like being on the flight line, working on jets. So they gave me the opportunity to retire in California. So I took the opportunity. You know, they give me a good pension.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I've been retired now 15 years.
Oh, wow.
People just don't know it.
Yeah.
You know, but I've been retired 15 years and I get a good pension from them.
Right.
You know, And like, I want to go back to work now. You know, Lyra is telling me, no, don't you go back to work. You already got your pension.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, so I just wrote
what, when work. Was that? So what about a story about when you kind of were doing that work and you suddenly, and maybe it was a day or maybe it was something that happened where you realized, this is it.
After the fourth time my lungs collapsed on me, I knew that was it.
Yeah.
Because they were deteriorating, the jet fuel was eating my lungs up,
uh-huh.
You know, and it was deteriorating, and I knew if I stayed in the industry, it would have killed me.
Right.
You know, so I got out of it and just came home.
Right. And what about a moment in the beginning where you realized this was the work that you were meant to do?
Oh, well, see, when I was young, I always knew what I wanted to do.
Oh, you did?
Yes, you know.
When was that?
Oh, when I graduated out of high school, I always knew what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
I tried my hands at other things. I just wasn't happy.
Uh-huh.
Until I got into the aircraft industry, And it's been a blessing ever since. Uh-huh. You know, and a lot of people, they find it hard. Here you got this young black man. They think I'm young, you know?
Yeah.
Here you got this young black man that work on aircraft. What are you doing here? And I let them know, I just can't do it no more, you know, because it was killing them.
Yeah.
You know, and I either I work there and die, or I get out and prolong my life.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what I did. I prolonged my life. I'm 60 years old, and people just don't, like, you 60 years old?
Yeah, right.
And it's only because I've done a lot of things that kept me healthy.
That's right.
You know, scuba diving, and I used to ride the velodromes with my bike in California. Velodromes,
really?
In the, you know.
Yeah.
I used to ride the velodromes in California.
Uh-huh.
I lived next to Balboa Park in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the zoo is at and everything, and they had a velodrome. I used to take my bike up on the velodrome, ride the velodrome. I used to roller skate a lot.
Oh, wow.
You
so
know?
So you were doing all kinds
yeah,
of
Yeah, I was doing all kinds of things, you know, just to keep me healthy.
Right.
And at one time, I was bigger than this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like 205. I'm only 160 pounds now. That's after my lungs collapsed. I was never able to put that weight back on.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad that I was, you know, I'm glad that I didn't put it on because I would have problems.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so I watch my weight. I watch what I eat and everything, you know?
Yeah. How did you get involved with the fire station? Was that immediately or?
No, it wasn't. I was up here for about 2 years. And they kept seeing me walking up and down with the dog, you know?
Yeah.
And they kept after me, come on, join the fire department. No, I'm retired. I don't want to do nothing. My life is simple, you know? Until finally I needed something to do, you know, because I got tired of sitting at home.
Yeah, sure.
And I joined. And ever since then, I'm like one of the top guys in the city here.
Yeah,
you know?
Are.
You know?
Yeah. And what is the work entailed there? What is sort of you have to do on a daily or weekly basis?
On a daily basis, I just go in the firehouse, make sure everything is straight, the books are straight. I take care of books. They're books for the hoist rack.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I make sure the books are correct because they spend a lot of money.
They do.
Okay. Yeah, and I just make sure that the money is going where it's supposed to be going.
Uh huh.
Okay, because at one time, a lot of guys was ripping them off, putting money in their pocket.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I just couldn't see it.
Yeah.
This is a community thing here. You're taking from the community.
Right.
Okay, so I just straighten out their books. Me and Kathy downstairs, yeah. I was just talking to.
Yeah.
We just straighten out their books and make sure everything is running right.
Uh-huh.
If they need something they got to buy, they got to come to me.
Oh.
You know, and I make sure that the bills are paid and everything, you know.
Uh-huh. And how does it work? Is a lot of those expenses coming from the city? Or where does it... Where
well,
does
a lot from? Of the expenses, we have a bank account
uh-huh.
that we put money into.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it's been building and building, and there's things that they needed to update the company.
Uh-huh.
You know, like... it's like when you go into a fire, you got these little cameras to see the bodies. You can do the smoke and everything. They needed cameras, so I bought cameras for them.
Mm-hmm.
The cameras are expensive, but they had an account that was just sitting there. So I just, this is what we need. Okay, so they went and started updating the whole system and everything. And it's
and every member adds to that account?
Yes, every member adds to that account.
So it's a kind of, you're basically supporting, you're like the company.
Right. Yeah, we support ourselves. The city gives us money when our trucks break down.
I see.
Okay? Because
mm-hmm.
the trucks are owned by the city.
I see. Uh-huh.
When the trucks break down, they pay for it to get the trucks fixed. The trucks are not cheap to get fixed.
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay, and everything else we just do on our own.
Oh, wow. You do a lot of fixing there, too.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. I take care of this firehouse. Anything that goes wrong in there, I fix. You know?
Because
I'm home during the daytime. I got nothing to do.
All right.
And I don't mind doing it, you know? They give me a little money on the side.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I don't mind doing it, you know? And I like the washing cars and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you see me back there, you know?
That's right.
You know?
And what what's the relation with the other people at the fire? So right now, the fire station is kind of like your work setting if you were to have one.
Yeah, if I was to have a job now, it would be in the fire department because I really enjoyed it. I went to all their schools. I came up here, they sent me to school.
Oh.
You know, you got to go to school to be a fireman.
Oh, okay.
Up here. People just don't know that. Yeah. You know, they think you can come off the street and be a fireman and run into a fire. You know? No, it's not like that.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to go to their schools. I went to their schools, passed with crazy grades, you know.
Wow.
What I mean? You know? And that's all I've been doing that from
that time. What's your relation with the other people who are a part of that?
I get along with everybody. A lot of these guys, they don't get along with each other.
Oh, really?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Up at Central Station.
Yeah.
You know where Central Station.
Yeah.
They don't get along with Hoistrat. You know, because they think that we're trying to do everything, but we are the quickest. Well, usually we're the first ones on the scene. Uh-huh. These guys up there, they get mad and talk about we're trying to steal their thunder, but they move so slow, and a fire could take off in 3 minutes. You done lost a whole building.
Yeah.
You know, and they just move so slow, but we got like 60 people in this firehouse, excuse me.
Yeah.
That they, you know, that answer calls.
And they come right away.
And they come right away.
Right.
You know, we walk around with pagers. I got a pager.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, we get fires or anything, we go.
How do you do that with your, I mean, isn't that a potential risk in terms of your lungs?
No, because I wear oxygen.
Oh.
You know, I got a pack that I put on. Everybody got to wear, you know, wear oxygen.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is where they train you at how to use the oxygen and everything. A bottle of oxygen will last you about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, you could put the fire out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and these guys in here, they're really good. You know, and we put fires out in no time.
Have you seen any big fires?
Yes, I have.
Here in Hudson or elsewhere?
Well, we get called out to Catskills.
Uh-huh.
I know all the firemen over there.
Oh.
Okay. And we get called out to, I know you heard of Amanda's, right? That fire, that.
Oh, Amanda's fire, they have fireplaces.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah, we put that fire out. They lost the whole building.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, they lost the whole building, and that's only because they waited till the last minute to call us. They had all the fire companies from the county around. But they wouldn't call us because everybody thinks that we're bad, you know, so they don't want to call us.
Oh, really?
You know?
So this particular firehouse has a reputation of...
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Uh-huh. And we're trying to change that reputation.
Well, and where is that from? Do you know?
It's from the older guys. They were all wild and down there getting drunk and everything like that. I stopped that. Okay, I don't allow no alcohol down in the basement. I take care of the basement. That's where the bar is at.
Uh-huh.
I don't allow alcohol. You can drink your beer, but that's as far as it's going.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there's nobody in here getting drunk. You get drunk, you out of here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's just the way I do it, you know?
Right. So you're running the ship.
I'm running the ship. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know?
Do you feel like there are any similarities between this work and the work in any of your other places
yes,
for the air?
Yes, there is, because when I worked for United Airlines, I was a supervisor for United Airlines. I had like 37 guys that on my crew that I supervised.
Okay.
And I applied from there. I just came here and I applied the same way.
Wow.
You know, hey, it's just like when I was with United. No drinking, no coming to work drunk, anything like that. You know, you know you got a job. People's lives are on the line. Okay, and this is what you got to do. Now, if you don't like it, then you can leave. That's just the way I am. If you don't like it, then leave, because I'm not putting nobody else's life in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Okay, and I've seen planes that take off and a wheel come off. Okay? You know?
Wow.
You know?
That's...
And yeah, I used to fire guys behind that, you know, because it's you know, it's their liability.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys that come in, used to come in drunk. I send them home, you know, a couple of days, and you come back to me when you straight. Matter of fact, take 3 days.
Yeah.
Without pay. And they got the hang of it, you know. And they're, oh, this guy don't play around, you know.
He's serious.
Yeah, right? Because I, you know, I'm a people's person. I'm a humanitarian. I don't like to see nobody getting hurt. Yeah. If it could be prevented,
right,
I do everything to prevent it.
It does seem like most of the work you went into is that kind of risky.
Yes.
It actually, people can die.
Yes, they can.
Or they, you know, it is a very, you know, people's lives are really on the line.
On the line, they are.
In my line of work, you know, we don't
have
that.
Yeah, right. See, and see, another thing, I used to, when I was in Vietnam, excuse me, I used to tell the guys, we run an engine up on a blast fence. They got this red line that goes around the engine. Mm. You pass that line, you're going to get sucked into the engine. Mm. Okay, and I used to tell guys, just don't go past that line. Okay, and I seen one guy, he went past that line, sucked him up and spit him out like a hamburger in the back. Okay, and he was like, done, you know?
Wow.
A lot of things I've seen guys jump off the back of an aircraft as it's being towed, you know, and got their jewelry on. Yeah. Jewelry get hung up on something, guy ripped 9 feet of nerves right out his arm. Okay? You know, took his finger and everything, ring and all.
Yeah.
You know, and
risk.
Yeah, and you just got to be careful. I'm a safety type of person. I believe in safety.
Right.
You know, before anything, I'm even like that here. Mm-hmm. Before you run into a fire, if you're not dressed properly, I will not let you go in. Mm-hmm. Okay, because there's certain things that you got to have on, you know, and if I think you're not dressed properly, I will not let you go in. Mm-hmm. They get mad at me, mm-hmm. you know, but like I keep telling them, look, it's better than being burned.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's just a small,
right?
People like the risk.
Yeah, they do. I know, I liked it. My father used to tell me, oh, you like living on the edge. Well, Dad, if that's what you want to call it, I like living on the edge.
Living on the edge, but not entirely on the edge. You didn't take that cop job.
No, I didn't.
That would have been.
And sometimes, you know, here recently, I tell Lyra, I think I should have took that job. Uh-huh. You know, because by now, I probably would have been a detective or something, because I like homicides. I like investigating homicides. I used to sit up and read my father's books, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I like that type of work, but I just did not want to be a target. At that time, they was killing cops.
Yeah.
You know, and I just did not want to go that way.
Yeah.
You know?
And did your father feel that way or not?
No, he's been in shootouts and everything. He come home and like, you know, like it was nothing. And I used to sit back and I say, oh, no, it'll never be me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I watched him retire. After he retired, he lived 5 years, he died. You know?
Yeah,
I told my mother, I'm not going to let that happen to him. Right. You know, he was young when he died, you know. And I just told my mother, I'm gonna live a long time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just did not want to go that way.
Yeah.
You know?
And, what do you do up? So you don't have scuba diving around here. What do
you
do?
No, you don't.
For outside use,
I got some friends that live up in the mountains in Palinville and stuff like that. And they got like gliders, and we'd be up 15,000 feet in the air gliding.
Oh wow!
You know,
wow.
You know, that's a lot of my time. You know, I do a lot of flying.
So here you're flying. Whereas there, you were in the ocean.
Yeah.
Up and down.
And Lyra would be like pulling her hair out of her head, talking, oh no, yo, this is what I want to do.
Wow, that's pretty great. Yeah, it seems like there's, even in your outside of work life, there's an element of, you know,
yeah,
risk.
Yeah, I live, that's why my father used to tell me, you're like living on the edge. I'm just careful what I do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because all those things require quite a bit of safety.
Yeah, it does, you know.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. It's been a good life since I moved up here. Been a good life. My brother and my sister talk about, why don't you come back down to New York City? I said, no. You don't need to come up here. You know, and I haven't been back to, I went back about 3 weeks ago, and the last time after that, it's been 4 or 5 years since I've been back to New York City.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Do a lot of the guys from the fire station also come from New York City?
No, they all come from up here. Uh-huh. Most of the guys, I don't know any of them that come from New York City. They all lived here all their lives, you know?
Oh, so you're an outlier.
Yeah, yeah, you know? And everybody liked me because I'm a straight up kind of person,
right,
you know?
Right, right, right.
And I see something that is not right, I don't care who get mad, yeah, right. You know? If it's not right, I'm going to tell you. Mommy, I gotta call you back. No, don't need it. Bye. Everybody wanted to work for me.
Uh-huh.
Cause I'm a fair person.
Uh-huh. So you were the sort of top in Vietnam as well. You were controlling.
Right, in Vietnam too. Cause I'm a fair person. Everybody liked to work under me. Mm-hmm. I'm not a hard person to get along with.
Right.
You know, and everybody, yo, we want to work for Mr. Campbell, you know. You know, and I just had that knack of people coming to me, you know.
That's great.
You know, and it's been like that all my life.
When you were, before you were even working.
Yeah, even before I was working. And then when I was growing up, everybody wanted to be around. I got another brother that's like me.
Uh-huh.
And everybody always wanted to be around Barry and Shelley, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That's nice.
And we always had that knack. That's what my parents taught us, you know.
Right. That comes from a young age. Were you, when you were a kid, were you also fixing things all over?
Yes, I was. Yeah. Yes, I was. When I was a kid, I was the only guy on the block, 13 years old, I had my own car.
Whoa, know? 13
years old. I used to race cars at that time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I used to rip them down, you know, put big engines in them, take them to this racetrack, big tires and everything. My father, he helped me along, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we used to race cars.
Wow. Yeah. So you would have to fix them?
Yeah, I would fix them.
Uh-huh.
That's why I went into school for auto mechanics, you know.
I get it.
You know, we used to build a lot of our cars, you know.
Was there a racetrack around?
Yeah, and we used to go to Islip out in Long Island.
Uh-huh.
We used to take our cars out there and race them. You know, good times.
Good times, yeah. Did you ever do any work? Was there a difference for you about the work that you did that you were paid for and the work that you did that you weren't paid for?
No, to me it's no difference, you know, because I like doing everything, so I just jump in and do it, and to me it's really no difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
helpful to get the money, but...
Yeah, it's helpful to get the money, but it's just... It's really no difference.
Uh-huh.
It's just that the fire department here is a little bit more strenuous than working on jets.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
is that
it
the
is.
Case?
Because sometimes after fire, I'm like dead for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's
right. The only thing about the fires here.
Yeah. And the fire department is all volunteer.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were trying to get paid firemen here. But if they get paid firemen here, it's going to cost them more money than what they're putting out now.
Right.
You know, so we're trying to keep it as cheap as possible for the city.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
They own the building. They pay the taxes on it. They pay the taxes on the building. And they own the trucks.
And they own the trucks.
Yeah, you know, and we just here to just do the job. And there's a lot of guys in this fire department that are dedicated.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's be surprised. A lot of these young guys, they're dedicated.
They've been doing it. They come with their families here.
Yeah, their father's been volunteer firefighters, so they take over where their father's left off, you know.
Sheldon's story makes us think about the way family shapes, but does not entirely determine, the kinds of work we pursue. Particularly striking in Sheldon's case is his frequent involvement in risky activities that require meticulous attention to safety and equipment. Whether he was repairing a jet engine, diving deep in the ocean with seals, fighting a house fire, racing cars as a young boy, or gliding high above the Catskills, he is, in Sheldon's own words, always a safety type of person.
Work is a program produced by Max Goldfarb and Laura Kunreuther for WGXC Community Radio 90.7 FM.
Andy was a Catholic, the ethic ran through his bones. He lived alone with his mother, collecting gossip and toys. Every Sunday when he went to church, he'd kneel in his pew and he'd say, "It's work, all that matters is work." He was a lot of things, what I remember the most. He'd say, "I got to bring home the bacon, someone's got to bring home the roast." He'd get to the factory early. If you asked him, he'd have told you straight out, "It's work." No matter what I did, it never seemed enough. He said I was lazy, I said I was young. He said, "How many songs did you write?" "I'd written 0, I'd like to 10. "You won't be young forever. You should have written 15. It's work." You ought to make things big. People like it that way. And the songs with the dirty words, make sure you record them that way. And you like to stir up trouble. He was funny that way. He said it's just work. And he sat down to talk one day. He said, "Decide what you want. Do you want to expand your parameters or play the museums like some dilettante?" I fired him on the spot. He got red and he called me a rat. It was the worst word that he could think of. I'd never seen him like that. It was work. I thought he said it's just work. Andy said a lot of things. I start them all away in my head. Sometimes when I can't decide what I should do, I think, what would Andy have said? He'd probably say, "You think too much. That's cause there's work that you don't wanna do. It's work. The most important thing is work. It's work. The most important thing is work."
Every day is work. you've got to work hard, you've got to work hard.
We'll be right back. Steal it, you'll misunderstand if you get